Everybody's so happy that you're back home, all the Ruthless fans and everybody that sent you letters and stuff. Everybody told me to tell you that they're real happy right now and looking forward to your new music and shit.
For sure, appreciate it, man.
Alright, man. So, I know it's hard maybe for you to talk about, but could we start about talking about the time you were in jail? Is that cool? Alright. First question is, why did you go to jail? A lot of people don't know that.
Okay. Hey, I'm on my phone, right? Is there a callback number I can call you at? Or can you call me right at the studio?
I can call you at the studio.
Alright. Hey, Spider. Studio phone?
What's up, Jay? What's the first question? Like, why did you go? A lot of people have been asking, what happened?
Oh, I had attempted murder, man. It was like a hood thing. Like, me and some of my homeboys that got into it. And, like, one of my homeboys got shot in the mix.
Like, can you describe a day for you in prison? What was it like a day?
Well, like, I say from the early morning what I do, you know, because I converted since I've been in prison, right?
Yeah, I heard about that.
So, the morning always started out with getting up to pray early in the morning. So, that's what I do before the sunrise. I get up and I do my prayer. After I pray, I read the Quran or I read the Holy Prophet of Islam. And then after that, I wait for breakfast to come. I wait for the yard to open up. Then I go to work. You know what I'm saying? I go to work from like 8 in the morning. No, from like 6 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. You know what I'm saying? From then, I go out to the yard, you know, to get buff. I work out. We do a lot of calisthenics because they took the weights out the pen. So we can't lift weights no more. So we do bar work like dip, pull up. Then we do just a lot of calisthenics. Stuff like that, or we play ball or something, or get on the phone, try to holler at our loved ones and shit like that.
Okay.
And then from there, that lasts up until about 4 in the afternoon. So after 4, basically, the program is kind of shut down. You go back in the cell to get ready for dinner time. After dinner, then they give you like 1 hour a day room, you know what I mean, where we come out, we play dominoes, cards, talk, you know, stop it up for like an hour to like 9. Then we back in the cell, and that's a typical day in prison.
Okay. And did you write any songs in jail?
Yeah, I wrote raps. Like, I didn't write no whole songs because I got used to writing the music. And in prison, you know, you can't really get no instrumentals or, you know, you can't get music from DJs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, not no California prisons unless you sneak it in.
Right.
But, so I didn't write no songs. But what I did is I used to just write a gang of raps just to keep my, you know, to keep my skills up or whatever.
Okay.
But the main thing in prison I did was study and read, though. I didn't dedicate my whole life to writing rap.
Yeah.
You know, I read a lot, and I try to educate myself.
How did you get into to Islam?
To Islam? Well, I was always interested in Islam, just hearing about Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying, and Elijah Muhammad and them cats.
Yeah.
And so before I went to prison, you know, I tried to go to some of the Nation of Islam temples on the street. And then I found out some things about them that I didn't like, so I was like, nah, this ain't what I want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I went to prison, I seen some brothers who was in the Orthodox Islam.
Okay.
And then they started teaching me and educating me, giving me things to read. And then, you know, eventually it won me over, and I converted like that.
Right. And I know you received a lot of fan mails. Do you remember somebody, like, that handed right you a lot when you were locked up?
Oh yeah, it was a cat named Daniel from the Netherlands.
Right.
Daniel from the Netherlands, who else? It's a brother named Snake. His name is Ahmed, but his name is Snake. He called himself Snake. He's from the Sudan, but he lives in Ireland.
All right.
You have it was this little youngster from out of Atlanta, man. He was like about 11, 12 years old.
Damn.
Hey, he was cool as hell, man. I can't remember his name, man. For some reason, I can't get his name out right now.
But I know it must have felt good, like when you got those letters, right?
Oh, for sure, man. Because it's like, you know, you had youngsters, you know, dudes. They was some of the cats was just born when I did the song with Eazy. They was born that year. So they just now getting acquainted with the music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
And they was like, man, I was born in 93. I'm just now hearing about you.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was amazing to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, like, when I was trying to tell those young cats, like, you know, because everybody want to get into music some form of fashion, right?
Yeah.
So I would tell them.
Hello?
Do that, but don't depend on music alone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just tell them, you know, try to go to school and get educated and learn about a variety of things before you just put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Don't you know, a lot of those cats listen to me, man. They say, man, a lot of people used to try to tell them that on the street. They said, but when I told them, you know what I'm saying, it made a difference.
Yeah, it goes to the heart.
Right. So, you know, right. Stuff like that was like, man, it was just, you know, it was a godsend. It was a blessing, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because my little brother likes you more than anybody. He's like only 13 and he only sees 50 of them on TV, but he's like researched everything. He loves you and Easy like most of everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
what's amazing about that music, man. It's like the new generation, man. It's like, you know, most of my letters and stuff was coming from them cats, like all the people that are just now becoming teenagers or preteens, you know what I'm saying? It was just amazing to me, like, damn, man, they just now getting acquainted with the music and they loving it like they heard it like it first came out or something, you know what I mean? But it's like that to them because they so young.
Yeah, because they feel that if it's tight music, they like it. Yeah, I feel you. And, you know, did you ever fear for your life during the period you were locked up?
Oh, yeah, man, because a lot of things go on in prison. Like, you know, like all the races, you know, every race stick with itself. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, there's a lot of race riots in California prisons between the Mexicans and the blacks and the whites and the Asians. You know, everybody, every race stick together. And it's like between the blacks and the Mexicans and the whites, we always fight each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Over just racial superiority or, you know, somebody trying to take one spot on the yard from the other people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, situations like that, man, I mean, they got tapes now that they show out here in California about, you know, they filmed some of those riots and they've been showing them to the public, like through commercials and stuff like that. I mean, they dangerous, man, because, you know, cats got homemade knives and, you know what I mean? Everybody walking around the yard with knives in their pocket, man. I'm talking about big knives.
Shit.
You know what I mean? And cats be getting killed. I've seen dudes get killed, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dudes get stabbed up and sliced up. So, you know, of course, naturally, yeah, man. I mean, you know, I felt the fear, you know what I'm saying? But I was never scared to the point that I would run or, you know, I would back down or nothing like that. Yeah, I was definitely up against it. Huh? All right, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I heard that Trey D and X-Rated were in the same prison as you. Is that true?
Nah, they was across from me. It's like, nowadays, where they have, like, old school prisons at.
Right.
Like in California, originally, it was, like, three prisons. That's, or, like, the oldest prison. You have Soledad Prison, you have San Quentin, you have Tracy, and one more. Soledad, Quentin, Tracy, and it's one more prison. Oh, I think it's Chino or something like that. But anyway, now what they're doing is they've been building new prisons right across the street from those old prisons.
Okay.
And so I was in the old prison, which is Soledad. It was like one of the first prisons in California.
Okay.
I was in that prison, and Tracy was in a new prison called Salinas Valley. It's right across the street from me.
Okay. So you didn't have no contact with him?
Nah, I didn't have no contact with them cats, man. But I heard, because, like, you know, the prison that they're in is a higher-level prison.
Yeah.
Being that I've been in prison so long, I went to the higher-level prison first, and then I worked my way down to the lower level.
Yeah.
So being that Trey D now, you know what I'm saying, and X-rated, he's been in prison messing up, but he's been fighting a lot because the case that he's in on, you know, every dude that come to prison, they get on him, you know?
Oh.
Because he in there for killing somebody's mom or something like that.
Shit.
So he has a lot of trouble, so he hasn't been able to work his way down to the lower level. But Tracy D, being that he just started out, he was on a higher level yard, and that yard is across the street from my prison. And all the dudes who come down from there, you know, they talk about stuff, you know, who was up there or whatnot.
Right.
They used to let me know that they was up there, you know.
Right, right. You know, you told me not everybody knows you're a Muslim now. Will that affect your music in any way?
To a certain degree. You know what I'm saying? To a certain degree, it will. You know,
right.
Because that's what I'm trying to represent right now. But I know people are still expecting, you know, the street side of me or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give them a little of that, too, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to just try to talk about something now. Talk about something, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But you won't change your flow or style or not?
No, I ain't gonna change that, nah.
Yeah. Okay, and you know, what was the first thing you did when you got released? Like, the first thing that you longed for?
Well, basically, it's family, man. I wanted to see my kids. You know, that was the first thing, but everybody was at my house. What you been doing? Yeah, the first thing I wanted to do was see my family, man, but before I even made it to the house, I went to the masjid and prayed, man. That was something I always wanted to do because I converted to Islam in prison, so I never really had the experience on the street. And so I wanted to see what a real mosque was like, so I went inside a masjid and I made my prayer. You know, that was the first thing that I actually did.
Okay. And, you know, let's go back to, like, way back when you were growing up in Compton. What was that like?
To me, it was fun because it's all I knew. You know what I'm saying? It was fun, man. It was like, you know, just being around, you know, your environment, what you're comfortable around. You know what I'm saying? And what you're used to. Just that familiarity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The people or the place, stuff like that. It was fun, but, you know, it was a dangerous place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a lot of the cats that I grew up with is dead. A lot of them got life in prison, you know what I'm saying? A lot of them is on drugs.
Damn.
They don't have no future, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a love-hate relationship, basically, you know, because we went through hard times, but at the same time, we love where we come from, you know what I'm saying?
And what made you get into music?
Huh?
What made you get into music, like, early?
Well, just like, you know, basically, we was into, like, you know, my mom's and them, they, you know, my mother's like, they grew up in the 70s era, you know, the 60s, 70s era, so they used to always play the music from those eras. And so naturally, we gravitated towards that. But then in the 80s, when hip-hop came out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, we took a liking to it because it spoke more to who we were and what we were doing.
Right.
And basically, I didn't really get into rap music until Eazy-E and them came out in like 87, 86. Because Eazy was underground before he, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Before he went mainstream. So he used to have little tapes like the Cruise Down the Street in my 6-4, 8-Ball Junkie, all that stuff used to be like circulating through the city.
Yeah.
So when we heard that and we heard somebody that was from the city, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's always amazing to a young kid when you hear somebody from where you come from that made it. You know, we just gravitated towards that and it was like, we just started trying to imitate it. You know, we used to imitate their lyrics, and then we started trying to write our own lyrics on top of their lyrics with the same format.
Yeah.
Then we just got into the music like that.
And how did you and Dre start first meet up with Eazy?
Well, basically, like, my brother, he had a reputation for rapping when he was in California Youth Authority.
Okay.
Which is like a junior prison for juveniles, right?
Right.
And he had a reputation for, you know, just for flowing. And a lot of people knew, you know, you got youngsters going in and out of Youth Authority all the time. And so, basically, one of these dudes that knew my brother had got out, and he got at some of his folks about my brother and was like, man, y'all need to hear this dude. He'll be home in a little while. I need to check him out.
Right.
So his folks knew Eazy. So what they did was they came up on our street when Dre got out. They rode up on our block and was like, man, we heard y'all be getting down. So we was like, yeah. He was like, man, we're going to take y'all to the studio. And they wouldn't tell us, like, exactly where we was going the first time.
Right.
And then when they said they was coming to get us, that day I happened to be gone that time. So they came and they took my brother. He went up to the studio and then he came back later that night. He was like, man, I was in the studio with Eazy.
Yeah.
Got like 7 songs done.
Shit.
I'm like, in one day? He's like, yeah. And then he brought some tracks back that he was writing to for some more songs. I'm like, damn.
Damn.
So the next time they went, I made sure I was around, so I went back with him.
Right.
When we went in the studio, they had the real G's, you know, they had it playing in the studio.
Yeah.
And they was like trying to finish the song because Eric Eazy-E still had to do his part.
Okay.
And while they was doing the song, like in the middle of the song, the verse that I rapped on the song, somehow they didn't know how that got there. You know, it was a trip. It was like, where did this long stretch of beat come from?
Okay.
And didn't nobody know. They was like, man, we don't know how I got there. So they was like, fuck it. They say, nah, I got to go in there and put something on it, man.
Okay.
So I'm going in there. I got a bunch of old rhymes in my head. I'm spitting. And we steady smoking weed and drinking and stuff, so I start flowing out the head with stuff.
Damn.
And that one little verse that I spit, it that came out of me somehow. And they was like, ooh, they recorded this shit.
Yeah.
So what they did was they made me listen to it and write it down, change some things in it. And that's what I did, and that became, you know what I'm saying?
The classic.
Became a part of the song, and that's just how it happened, basically.
Okay.
Like that.
And later you met up with Manus Pereira, right? You remember them?
Yeah, for sure.
That's my homeboy from Denmark, and I know they've been sending stuff to Dracer right now. How was it working with them back in the day?
Oh, that was cool, man. I mean, it was like, for me, first of all, it was amazing because I never expected, you know what I'm saying, some cats from way down that way to be doing music like the kind of music they was doing, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, damn, just how cool they were and how down to earth they were, man. It was a pleasure working with them dudes, man.
Yeah, I hope we can do something in the future with them again.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. My brother had got some tracks from them recently.
Yeah, they sent a bunch of songs, and I heard 3 tracks that Dracer had recorded.
Right.
Sent back.
He saved a couple of them for me, too.
Oh, man, should
have stopped. In the future, we'll be jumping on them, Joe.
You've been gone like a decade now.
Right.
What's your views of the rap game right now?
Well, I think it's prime time for people to really, you know what I'm saying, young blacks and whites or whoever that's in the music right now.
Yeah.
I think it's prime time for us to really take over the game because my view is not so much about the rap, it's about the legal side of it, the corporate side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, the corporate side has been getting all the money for the longest, you know what I'm saying? And now you got cats like Jay-Z who are in nice positions to really give it back to us. People who it came from, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I see that as a positive right now. You know, I think it's prime time for young people that's into music to really make a difference and really get paid and really change a lot of things in the world, especially with the environments that we come from, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I see that as a positive thing.
And how was it like being back in the studio again with your brother and King T?
Man, it was weird, I ain't gonna lie, man. Like hearing myself, because I've been so out of touch for so long, so it was like, just was weird just getting on the mic that first night.
Yeah.
Cause I tried another song with my sister and my brother Dre, right? Leesy
or who?
Yeah, with Leesy Lowe.
Yeah.
I tried the song with them and it was like, I wasn't really comfortable. I was nervous like, cause you got people in the studio, you in the booth, they sitting out on the couch just looking at you, right?
Damn.
And so my heart started beating. I'm like, damn, man, it just ain't the same. Cause first of all, I was used to smoking weed and drinking, being in the studio like that. So now I'm sober now. I ain't got high since 1999.
Yeah.
So now it's like the whole feeling is kind of different for me.
Right.
But slowly but surely it's growing on me though, you know?
Yeah. And I heard you've been doing some stuff with Spider from G on it.
Yeah.
Speak on that.
The song, me, him, and one of his artists. He got an artist called Smurf, and me, him, and Spider just did a song that he's supposed to be putting on DJ Who Kid's album.
Damn.
Yeah.
Shit, you're working with the biggest cats right now. I know my boy 40 Glock, he's fucking with them too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know 40 Glock? You met him too?
No, I ain't met him, but I heard of him.
I know of him, cool.
But I ain't actually met him yet.
Yeah. And, what artists are you looking forward to working with?
Man, I'm trying to mess with everybody, man. Really, the hot cats like Jay-Z, Nas, 50, you know what I mean? Cats like that, man. I'm neutral. I ain't trying to exclude nobody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to mess with everybody right now, basically.
You heard about Snoop doing the peace treaty for the West Coast and stuff? What you think of that?
I think it's positive, man. I think it's a positive thing. I think that the only thing about that is that he has to actually mean what he's doing. You know what I mean? He has to believe in it, and he has to actually do what he's talking about.
Okay.
You know, a lot of cats get at these conferences and they say stuff, and they don't be serious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that if he push forward with it and really do what he's trying to do,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a positive thing, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Have you recorded anything with Lil Easy? Have you heard him?
I was with Lil Easy last night listening to his album, man. Halfway done with his album.
Yeah.
And basically, me and him was getting together talking about, teaming up on some stuff. And basically trying to get the West back, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm trying to talk Lil E into getting on Ruthless, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Getting Ruthless Records and coming out on that label.
That would be hot.
That would be hot, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to coordinate something like that, man. But it's going to take a little work because Tamika Wright, she don't see eye to eye with a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
And it's like, it's kind of difficult, but I think we can do it, man. But we trying to coordinate something with Dr. Dre, too, man. We supposed to meet Dre Monday.
For real?
So what I'm trying to get Dre to do is get at Tamika Wright and tell her that he would help direct all the projects that come out on Ruthless, you know what I'm saying?
Damn, it's
to
hot.
Guarantee her, you know what I'm saying, some music, some hot records, and some platinum albums, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I hope
he does.
That's
what I'm trying to do. You know, little old me, that's what I'm trying to do, so.
All right. You know, you record a lot of stuff with Easy. Like, has anything been not released?
Yeah, it's a few joints, man, that ain't been released yet, and I don't know if she gonna ever put them out. You know what I'm saying?
Is it diss tracks or is normal kind of stuff?
No, it's just songs. There ain't no diss songs and nothing all like right. that. We was about to do, before he passed away, we was gonna do a whole Death Row diss album.
Oh, shit.
But, yeah, but we never got around to it because, you know, the early passing of Eric, man.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, how did you guys end the DPG beef?
Basically, man, it was like after the little incident. I'm sure you've seen the Beast DVD, right?
The one when you chasing Nate Dogg and shit?
Yeah, that one right there.
Yeah.
So basically, after that little episode, man, some cats that we knew, and some cats. Yeah, all right, what's happening with you, bro? All right, how you doing? I'm all right. Some cats that we knew and some cats that they knew had kind of was like, man, y'all need to cut that out. You know what I'm saying? For something to end up really happening. So they like coordinated a little studio get together thing. So we met up with Snoop and Corrupt. Dad and Snoop and them had fell out already. You know what I'm saying? So we couldn't really meet with Dad that night, but we met with Corrupt and Snoop and some of the other folks. We just got in the studio and talked about it. Like, man, this ain't getting nobody nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we need to go on and squash it and come together and do some stuff, you know?
Right.
And that was right before I went to prison, like a week before I went to prison.
Damn, because later on I heard Greystone, C-Styles, to a compilation with Nate Dogg and shit. I was like, damn.
Right.
Yeah, but we never heard how they squashed it, so just want to get out.
Yeah, that was basically it right there.
Yeah, so what are your plans right now? Will you release a solo album, mixtape, a Greystone knockout album? What's the plan?
I'm trying to do it all.
Do
the solo album. I'm trying to do the mixtape. I'm trying to do, because I got my own clique called the Baby Gangsters. I'm trying to do an album with them.
Yeah.
And whatever else, King T was talking about me, him, and my brother, and somebody else getting in a group.
I heard,
to do whatever, man. It's all about getting the music out there and making some money, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do all that.
You know, is it true that DJ Quick and you were supposed to do an album produced by DJ Quick?
Well, that's what DJ Quick want to do right now. He actually want to do that now. He just got out of the county like a couple of days ago.
Are you talking to him about doing it?
Yeah, my manager is talking to him.
For
you know
real,
what I'm
man. That would be hot. He got the best beats in the West.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And how do you...
So, that's in the air right now.
I hope it goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, how do you feel about... Have you heard... Juice has been speaking about Bone, because, you know, you guys... Like, he showed Easy Bone Thugs. He brought him out the snow and shit. He told me about that, and
right.
they never acknowledged that. And he's been talking about that in a new song, and what you think of that?
But I think, he expressing how he feels, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I understand him totally, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's his personal feelings about the whole situation.
Yeah.
It's because, like, you know, I was here that day. We was at a concert. We was giving a concert out there in Cleveland.
Yeah.
When it was only three guys we met that night, it was Busy, Lazy, and Flesh and Bone. We didn't even know Wish and Crazy at that time.
Okay.
And so, you know, we met the cats. They wanted to come and rap for us in the back, you know, like most cats do when they see you at a concert.
Yeah.
So we let the cats in, you know what I mean? They came back in and spit, and Easy gave them a gang of numbers and shit. Was like, yeah, man, you hook up with me.
All right.
So what happened was, when we left the tour, you know, we got back to L.A., no Bone, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I used to ask Easy, like, man, what happened to them dudes from Cleveland? Did you ever keep in touch with him? He was like, nah.
Okay.
And so I would ask him periodically, like, man, what happened, man? You should call them dudes, whoopie, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was, them dudes came out here on their own. They took a one-way trip out here to L.A., bring no clothes or nothing. They got off the, they heard, I think they heard where Tone Loke, somebody lived at. They caught a cab to his house, went up to his door, tried to holler at him. Didn't nothing happen. So they was just basically out here homeless, living from house to house. People was letting them live in their garages, their backyards and sheds and all that type of stuff.
Damn.
So when they was out here, they used to call up the Ruthless and like try to get Easy attention. So one time when they called, he answered the phone.
Yeah.
He answered the phone, they was like, they reminded him who they were. Then after they had Wish and Crazy with him this time.
Okay.
And Easy told Crazy to get on the phone, let Crazy spit, told Wish to get on the phone, Wish spit for him. And he went and picked him up and shit.
Tight.
Yeah, he picked him up, put him in a little hotel somewhere, and it's been history since then.
Yeah. Have you been, you know, you've been tied with Flesh and Bone a long time. You've been on both of his albums. And have you kept in touch with him? He's in jail too, right?
Yeah, I write Flesh Bone from time to time, man. I was just with his little kids the other night, and I plan on writing him and sending him pictures that I took.
You were pretty tight with Bone still, right? Like,
yeah, I'm pretty cool. Like, I got love for him, man. Like, the situation my brother's talking about is true.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of times when them cats could have, like, looked up for us, and they didn't because they was, you know, they had their own little internal things going on. But
yeah.
I still got love for the dudes, man. I still talk to them, so I ain't really tripping.
So we were going to maybe see a song with you guys.
Hopefully, man. I talked to Crazy, right? He said he's coming back on the first of next month.
Tight.
So, he's talking about getting together when they get back and talking about doing a cut, so we'll see.
All right, man. And do you plan on doing a dedication song to Easy?
Most definitely, man. My brother got one right now. He got the concept of the song.
Yeah, the letter,
the letter to my homeboy.
Yeah, I heard it. He spit it on the phone. Tight.
Yeah,
shit.
So basically, we might chop that song up right there. Me, him, and Lil Easy get on that. So that's like the talk right now.
Tight. And have you got any unreleased songs with Flesh and Bone?
Yes, I do, man. Yeah, I do. I don't know where the song is at because, you know, he had all that stuff when I went to prison.
When does he get out?
He get out in 2008.
Okay. All right, bro. Last question is, like, do you have a nice memory of when you were with Eazy-E, like something funny or crazy that happened when you were with him that you can share with us?
Man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm doing an interview right now. Hey, yeah, it was this one incident that happened in, we was in Texas, and it was a gang of dudes. We didn't get into it, but these dudes that got into it with our staff, some of Scarface and them people.
Right.
We was on the north side of a club called the North Side.
Okay.
And what happened was they came in the club like 200 deep, like 200 people.
Damn.
They just like bogarted, they went into the club on us, right? We on the stage rapping, and all we see is these dudes, some of the gang of cats coming through the door, kicking our bodyguards, pushing them to the side. And, like, they coming towards us, you know, we got guns and everything on us, so we trying to figure out, should we shoot at these cats or what? We know we ain't got enough bullets to deal with 200 people, right? So, after everything calmed down, after we learned the whole situation, it was all about them cats. They just wanted to kick it with us on the stage while we was rapping. So once we found that out, we was like, cool. They came up there. They was on stage with us crowning, acting crazy. After we finished doing the concert, we went back into the dressing room, right?
Yeah.
And them cats, they start beating up people in the club, right?
Shit.
They just went on the dance floor and started mopping everybody, beating up security, all kind of stuff. And Easy got scared. That nigga he tried to hop over this wall. He tried to straight leave us. I don't know where he thought he was going. And the dude who was driving us around was still with us.
Yeah.
But Easy got so panicked and scared, the nigga tried to straight bone out and leave us and shit.
Shit.
We snatched him down off the little table and shit and, like, brought him down like, man, what the fuck are you doing? That was like the funniest shit that I ever seen that time, you know, like while he was alive and shit.
Yeah. All right, bro, do you have any last words for the fans?
Yeah, just tell them to be looking out for BG Knock out real soon, man. I'm trying to do something real big, so just tell them to anticipate something real, real big coming from me real soon.